So this is what I said on Ushpiza de Yitzchak, the second night of Yontif, Yitzchak Avinu's Ushpizin, which coincides with the first night of Simchas Beis Hashoeva. So it says, Achazal say Mish Leiro Simchas Beis Hashoeva, Leiro Simcha Miyamav. That someone who did not see Simchas Beis Hashoeva did not see true joy in their life. And Simchas Beis Hashoeva was when they would draw the water for Nisach HaMayim, for pouring the water on the Mizbeach on Sukkis. And we need to understand what was the tremendous Simcha that that was experienced at the time of Simchas Beis Hashoeva. Sukkis Bechlal, Sukkis in general, is called Zman Simcha Seinu, a time of our Simcha. And we also need to understand why is Sukkis specifically a time for Simcha. And the fact that Yitzchak Avinu's Ashpizin is the time for when Simchas Beis Hashoeva begins is definitely not an accident. So we need to understand what his connection is to both the Sukkis and to Simchas Beis Hashoeva. So if I'm not mistaken, I've seen in Sforam HaKadoshim that the Inyan of the joy of Simchas Beis Hashoeva is similar to the concept of that we find in Chazal, B'mokim shebalei tshuva imdim, ain tzadikim gemurim mechoylem lamoid. Chazal say that where a place where balei tshuva stand, even the fully righteous people cannot stand. Balei tshuva stand higher than the tzadik gomor. And which obviously needs understanding. So the way it is explained is a king who had two children, and that one of them was captured by enemies and taken away to a very distant land and was far away from the king for a very long time. That although the father, the king, treasures his remaining son that is always with him, nevertheless, when this child that has been in captivity returns home, the joy is tremendous. The fact that the child had been away for such a long time, and now he has returned to the father, causes a tremendous joy, both by the son and the father, that does not exist on the constant basis between the son and the father that have been always together. And that is the concept of B'mokim Shebalei Tshuva Imdim. When a Baal Tshuva comes back, the Simcha of both the Baal Tshuva and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is so great that it supersedes the Simcha, the joy that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has, Kviyochel, with the Tzadikim Gemurim that are always with him. The same concept is understood by the Simchas Beis Hashoeva. Chazal tell us that during Briyas HaOlam, when Hashem created the world, and Hashem separated the upper waters from the lower waters, it says, "Haymayim atachtonim boichem." The lower waters started to cry. Anan ben in the mehevekadam malke. We want to be in the presence of the king. And the Rabbeinu Shalom comforted them by telling them that they will be returned to him. They will be in the presence of the king on Sukkis, when the water is poured on the Mizbeach. So the lower waters represent the child that has been distanced from the king. And the upper waters represent the child that is always in the presence of the king. And when Sukkis comes along and the water is going to be poured on the Mizbeach, the Simcha of both the waters and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that the child that has been so far away is returning home, is tremendous. and we all join in that simcha. That is the simcha's beis hasheyeva. And the reason why we join in that simcha is because we actually share that same simcha. After Yom Kippur, we all share this this simcha of the Baal Tshuva. We are all Baal Tshuva after Yom Kippur, having returned home to our Father. So we actually experience the same simcha that the water experiences, and we actually join the waters with that same type of simcha. So Mishlo Simcha Zu, whoever has not seen that simcha that was experienced and demonstrated at the time of Simchas Beis Hasheyeva, which was Klal Yisrael realizing that they share the same simcha with the water, whoever has not seen that simcha has not seen true simcha in their days. And the reason why, this is why Sukkot is called Zman Simcha Seinu. It's a time of our simcha. Our simcha meaning ours and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's. It's a time that we have united with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam after, it's a time when we unite with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam after Yom Kippur, having returned home from being distanced for such a long time. Therefore, on Sukkot, there's actually an inyan, there's a concept where all physical activities, such as eating and drinking and sleeping, are all a mitzvah, if they're done in the Sukkah, on Sukkot. These are these physical exercises are exercises that ordinarily are distant from Kedusha. And by doing them for the sake of a mitzvah, we actually bring these things, these inyanim of Gashmias, that are ordinarily distant from Kedusha, and we bring them, we actually unite them with their source, with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Once again, the simcha is tremendous. The simcha of things that are distant, being brought close, is a tremendous simcha, similar to the Baal Tshuva and similar to the Simchas Beis Hasheyeva, the Simcha of the water, of the lower waters coming back to their source. And Parshas Kisavai begins with the Parsha of Bikurim. And the Baal HaTurim points out a very interesting point, which had he not pointed out, no one would have realized. He says, "Beparsha zun nelam samach," that in the parsha of Bikurim, there is no letter samach. Letter samach does not appear. And the reason he points this out seems to be because, ordinarily, the word for basket, which is ordinarily used, the word in Lashon Kodesh is sal, samach lamed. When the Torah talks about putting the Bikurim in a basket, the Torah decides to use a different word. The Torah uses the word tena. And the Baal HaTurim, seems that the Baal HaTurim understood that the reason why the Torah changed from the ordinarily used word sal to the word tena is because the Torah wanted to avoid using a samach. And we need to understand what is the significance of the samach and why the Torah is avoiding to use the letter samach. Later on in Parshas Kisavai, there's another parsha, the parsha where the Hashem says, tells Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael that when they pass through the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael, that they should take big stones, avanim gedolos, and they should inscribe the entire Torah on these big rocks as they are coming to Eretz Yisrael. And here once again, the Baal HaTurim says, "Beparsha zu nelam samach." And this parsha, the parsha of the big rocks and the Yarden, there is no samach. And very, very interesting that the Baal HaTurim points this out. And once again, it seems what is bothering the Baal HaTurim is that it says in the Torah, "Misadeta isam basid," that you shall plaster them with plaster. These stones have to be plastered with plaster. And ordinarily, the word sid is written with a samach, samach yud dalet. "Misadeta isam basid," and the way it's written in the Torah is with a sin instead of a samach. It's written with sadata isam basid, sin yudalid instead of samach yudalid. So once again, the Baal HaTurim understood that the Torah is avoiding to use a samach. And we need to understand, once again, what is the significance of the samach and why is the Torah avoiding it. So I'd like to suggest that we know that everything in the world, whether it's objects or whether it's happenings in the world, everything has a chitzonius and a pnimius. Everything has an exterior and an interior. The exterior being either the physical object or the physical understanding of what has happened. But obviously, that is not what it's all about. What everything in the world is all about is the pnimius, is the internal aspect of every object or every happening, which is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything in the world has a spark that sustains it, and that is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Every happening in the world, there is no coincidence, there is no happenings. Everything is being controlled by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and whenever anything happens to the world in general, or to an individual person, the person is not supposed to focus on the exterior of what is happening. Rather, the person has to look at what is the internal meaning of it, because it is obviously a message from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, the pasuk says, Saviv Rishoyim Yishalachun. Rishoyim go around and around. Meaning, the Rishoyim focus on the Saviv, on the shell, on what surrounds things, on the exterior. When the Rasha sees anything physical in the world, it doesn't dawn on the Rasha that there might be pnimius to that. The Rasha focuses totally on the surface, on the exterior. The same applies to all the happenings in the world. The Rasha does not attribute anything to a message from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rasha focuses on the Saviv. Saviv Rishoyim Yishalachun. The Rishoyim focus on the Saviv, on the shell, on the exterior, on the klipa. The avodah of a yid, as we said before, is to connect oneself to the pnimius of everything and not to get caught up in the chitzonius, not to get caught up in the exterior. I'd like to suggest that the letter samach, which is a round, which is a circle, represents the saviv. It represents the klipa. The klipa that surrounds the pnimius. Therefore, bikurim, which is the understanding of a yid, that the fruit that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given him is a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam gives him everything, as it says in the whole parasha of bikurim, that the person takes the fruit to the Beis HaMikdash, understanding that this is not just fruit. This is not just the physical fruit. Rather, the pnimius of it is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore it needs to be taken to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's the realization that everything that we have comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it is the yid focusing on the pnimius of their physical produce Therefore, Nelam Samach. Therefore, there is no Samach in the entire parsha of Bikurim. Because everything that Bikurim represents is opposite the Samach. It's the focus on the Pnimius and not on the Chitzonius. Then comes the parsha of the rocks of Eretz Yisrael. As long as Klal Yisrael was in the desert, we were in the Midbar, we were living very spiritual lives. We were eating spiritual food and we were drinking spiritual water. We were surrounded by the Anani HaKovid. But when we come into Eretz Yisrael, the Rebbeinu Shloilam knew that we were going to enjoy Gashmizdig lives. So the Rebbeinu Shloilam told us, as soon as you enter Eretz Yisrael, I want you to take the most physical thing that there is, a rock. Take the most earthly thing. Take a rock, and I want you to inscribe the Torah HaKadosha on that rock. I want you to realize that even rocks are godly. Even the most earthliest things, the things that appear to be most earthly, are truly godly, as long as you focus on the Pnimius. So once again, says the Baal HaTurim, V'parsha zu nelam samach. In this parsha, there is no samach. This parsha represents everything that is opposite the samach. It represents realizing that there is godliness even in the most earthly things. Don't focus on the samach. Focus on the Pnimius. Now, in this second parsha of the Avonim, as we said before, the samach is substituted by the sin. And I'd like to suggest that the sin represents this concept of focusing on the Pnimius. Because what a sin is, as we know, the shin is a letter with three lines, right, left, and middle. And the left line represents everything that is most distant from Kedusha. Right represents Kedusha. Left represents that is most distant from Kedusha. The sin has the dot, the nekuda, on the far left. And what the sin represents is that there is a nekuda, that there is a spark, a point of godliness, even in the most distant, in what appears to be most distant from Kedusha. So the sin is the exact opposite of the samach. The samach represents chitzonius, represents the exterior, the klipa, and the sin represents that there's an akuda, that there is an akuda of elikus, of kedusha, even in the most distant things from kedusha, even on the far left. And that was the avoid of Yitzchak Avinu. We find the Zohar HaKadosh actually says that the letter Shin represents the three Avos HaKadoshim. As we know that Avram is Kav Yamin, Avram is the right line. Avram was Midas HaChesed, which is represented by the right. Yitzchak is represented by the left Kav, Midas HaGvura, which is represented by the left. And Yaakov is the Kav HaEmtzoi. Yaakov is the middle Kav, the middle line. Yaakov was Midas HaRachman, or Tiferes, which is comprised of Chesed and Gevurah, which is the middle line. So Yitzchak is represented by the sin, which the nekuda of the sin is on the left Kav, which is Yitzchak's Kav. And that was Yitzchak's Avoida, was that he was able to find Kedusha even in the things that seemed the most distant from Kedusha. And that is why Yitzchak was able to love Esav. Because Yitzchak was able to see the Nekuda of Kedusha even in someone that was as distant from Kedusha as Esav was. Yitzchok was able to see the Kedusha there as well. Yitzchok's avoida was to focus on the pnimius in everything, even in things that were most distant from Kedusha. So Yitzchok is represented by the letter Sin. And that is why we find there's one time in the Torah, in Tanakh, where the word Yitzchok is spelled differently. Instead of Yitzchok, it says Yitzchok with a Sin. Instead of the tzaddik, yid sin ches kuf, because Yitzchak represented the sin. The only time that we actually say this pasuk in a formal manner is by a bris milah. We say this pasuk asher koras es Avram ushvuasoi li Yitzchak, and we say it with the samach, and that is because the whole concept of bris milah is to remove the chitzonius, is to remove the orla, to be megala, the pnimius, to reveal the kedusha that lies under the surface of chitzonius. So it is davka specifically then that we mention this pasuk of a shuasa li Yitzchak, which represents finding the nakuda even in the most far left, even the furthest things from kedusha. And it's interesting that we find that the Chazal tell us that each of the Avos had a different name for tefillah. Avram called it Amida. Yaakov called it Pegia. Yitzchak called it Sicha. Once again, using that sin. And the same with the Makam Amigdash. Chazal tell us that each one of the Avos had a different name for the Makam Amigdash. Avram called it Har. Yaakov called it Bayis. Yitzchak called it Soda. Once again, using the sin, because Yitzchak's focus in life was on this, his emphasis was on the sin, on that left kav. That's what Yitzchak represented. And that is why Simchas Beis HaShoeva corresponds with Yitzchak, because that is what Simchas Beis HaShoeva is all about, as we said before. Simchas Beis HaShoeva is taking the lower waters that have been distanced from Kedusha and returning them to their source. So, Simcha Beis HaShoeva is specifically on the Shpiza de Yitzchak. And that's why it says in the Pasuk, U'sha'avtem mayim b'sosain. It doesn't say b'simcha. U'sha'avtem mayim b'sosain. You shall draw water with sosain. The source, the shoresh, the root of the word sosain is sos. Sos is sin. The whole concept of ushaavtem mayim of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is sos, is this concept of sin, focusing on the nekuda that exists even in the most far left. And this is why we read Koheles on Sukkos. Sukkos, as we said before, that represents this concept of Zman Simchasenu, the time that we enjoy the Simcha because we're a Bal Yitshuva and we're coming back from distance. And not only that, but we're taking all of these Inyanim Gashmiim, such as eating and drinking and sleeping, and bringing them back to Kedusha, which is really what we're doing, is instead of focusing on the exterior of all of these things, we're actually using them for a mitzvah. We're focusing on its pnimius, realizing that they're supposed to be used for godly reasons. So we read Koheles, which entire Koheles is all about the hevel havolim, all it talks about is the nothingness of the klippa, the nothingness of Olam Hazeh. That's what Koheles is all about. So that we should focus on the pnimius. And if you look into Sefer Koheles, you'll see that the last pasuk finishes off with Soif Davar Hakol Nishma. Right? At the end, everything is understood. There's a Samach Rabsi. There's a very big Samach on that word Soif. And what it's coming to teach us is that all Olam Hazeh is one big Samach. It's all one big Klippa. And we can't afford to focus on that Klippa. We must focus on the Pnimius. Now, the difference in Gematria between a Samach and a Sin, Samach is 60, a Sin is 300. The difference in Gematria is 240, which is Amalek. Amalek is the one that wants us to focus on the exterior instead of focusing on the Pnimius, upon the godliness that exists within everything. And that is why the Pasuk says, by the Parsha of Amalek, it says, when Hashem will give you some rest from the Saviv, from that Klippa that surrounds you, when you'll be able to have, when you'll have the Seichel to look at the Pnimius, Timcha Zeichar Amalek, then you shall erase the Zeichar Amalek, which wants you to focus on the Chitzonius. Timcha Zeichar Amalek mitachas Hashemayim. Amalek wants you to focus on that is tachas Hashemayim, instead of focusing on the Pnimius that definitely comes me'al Hashemayim, that comes from above the heavens. When it's v'haniach Hashem lekach lecha misaviv, when Hashem helps you get rid of that saviv, when Hashem helps you not focus on the saviv, on the klippa, then timcher zecher amalek mitachas Hashemayim, you'll be able to erase the zecher amalek that wants you to focus on the chitzonius, which is tachas Hashemayim. Immediately after Parshas Amalek comes Parshas Bikurim. Amalek is at the end of Parshas Kiseitze. Kisavai is at the beginning of the Bikurim is at the beginning of Parshas Kisavai. And the Smichas, the reason why they're written right next to each other is because Bikurim represents focusing on the Pnimius, which is the opposite of what Amalek stands for. The Bikurim, there is no Samach. Amalek is all about the Samach. And this is why the sukkah is made in the tzura of a samach. We're surrounded by the sukkah, but we are in the pnimius of the sukkah. We have to be in the inside. We have to focus, instead of focusing on the walls, what we focus on is being in the sukkah. And once again, everything that we do in the pnimius of the sukkah is physical exercises. But instead of focusing on the chitzonius, we focus on the pnimius, making everything into a mitzvah. And that is the inyan of the hakafis that we make on sukkahs. We take the lulav and the esrog and we surround the bima. We make, with ourselves, we make the tzura of a samach. We make the image of a samach. But the Torah is in the middle, showing that we believe that the pnimius of every samach is the Torah HaKadosha and the Rabbeinu Shlomo. It says that when Mashiach comes, it says, "Asad Hakadosh Baruch Hu lasas machal tzaddikim." Hashem will make a circle for the tzaddikim, a dance for the tzaddikim, and we're all going to focus on. It says in the Chazal that Hashem will be in the middle, and we're going to say, "Hine lekeinu zeh," meaning what the Rabbeinu Shlomo is going to do when Mashiach comes is the Rabbeinu Shlomo is going to show the world that everything. And the world is all a machal, it's all a samach, it's all chitzonius. And we're all going to realize that what lies in the center of all those circles is hine elokeinu zeh, that everything is the Rabbeinu Shlomo, the pnimius of everything, of all happenings in the world, is all the Rabbeinu Shlomo. May we be zeicha to that time, v'korev, v'yameinu, v'v'yes Mashiach tzidkeinu. Okay, that was one word. If you have time, I'll share with you one more.